Millennials and Instagram crowds, we're told, are killing off our restaurants. I want to go to Bradley Woods, the Chief Executive of the Australian Hotels Association here in WA. Bradley, good afternoon.
Hi, Ollie. How are you?
Well, this was one of WA's top French chefs, Alain Fabrouge. I'm probably butchering his name. I do apologise to him as well. Having a crack here at the fact that Instagram and the millennials are killing off our restaurants. Is that the case, Bradley, do you think?
Well, I think it's one of probably 20 factors that are having an impact, Ollie. It probably wouldn't be the most important thing from my perspective. I think the first thing it's best to say is that consumers regard restaurant popularity like they do the pop music charts. What's trendy today can be well outdated in 12 months' time. And the key to having a great restaurant or a food venue is how do you find the hit that keeps on playing to the customer's needs?
Sure.
You've got to have changes that are always innovating, and always, whether it's the menu or it's the venue, can't get outdated. And there's that factor. That's really important. Mm. But in terms of the current economy, look, everywhere throughout Australia, there is a turnover of restaurants, F&B, bars, restaurants. It happens everywhere. Sydney, you can Google it now and you'll see there's dozens of very prominent restaurants. Kylie Kwong, Billy Kwong's, been there for, 15 years, highly regarded chef. She shut that in January. The nature of the economy at the moment is people are not confident getting out there and spending as much as they can. Consumer confidence isn't high. And that's why the Reserve Bank keeps lowering interest rates. It's one of the core reasons the Commonwealth government, the Morrison government, delivered those tax cuts so that we all had more money in our pocket to go out and spend in the community on retail, food and beverage, paying bills, whatever it might be. The other factors that impact in Perth that are really obvious is rent, leases, landlords expecting the same returns that they were getting back in the boom years, and they're not being reasonable and fair on a lot of our members in the restaurant, bar and food and hotel space when they're expecting those very high returns when the businesses are probably doing 40-50% less turnover than what they were 5 years ago.
Yeah, you've got to meet the market, haven't you, Bradley? And as you say, that's really incumbent on those property owners who might be leasing out their venue to somebody. And there's a prominent pub in the city which I won't name, but in 2011 the cheapest pint was $18. The same pub today, the cheapest pint is $11. So they've obviously had to meet the market.
Correct.
Because otherwise there'd be nobody in their pub.
Correct. And a reasonable landlord, a reasonable lessor would go, we understand the market has changed and we understand we've got to try and find a way of making it affordable for you to stay in the business. Now, the problem for landlords and owners is they've bought premises and they might have borrowed to buy the premises, so they've got a debt there and they've got to look at what they paid for the business or the physical building when they bought it as well. If they bought it at the top of the market, you know, they've got to get a return in order to pay off their interest repayment. So it's a cyclical thing. But where you've got some... parts of the city, King Street, I think of, and there's a number of businesses there that you know, have been remained vacant because landlords have been too unreasonable at offering reasonable rents. And there's parts of Mount Lawley and Subiaco where we're seeing businesses shutting because there's been an overt level of rent expectation or lease expectation. The other factor of this, Ollie, is that labour costs do still keep going up. Businesses in hospitality are continually on an annual basis paying more and more. The number of restaurants today versus the boom years with the, you know, less population or a slower growth in the population means there's less people going out and eating in those venues. And then you add to that the impact of disruptors like Uber Eats. And what they're doing is they're driving value meals. Mm. They're driving the perception and the customer's expectation of what they should be paying, because table dining prices with the service that comes with that plus the add-ons in terms of drinks and garlic bread and side salad and all the rest of it does look more expensive than the takeaway price. So it creates a bit of a, oh, let's not go out and stay at home and watch Netflix effect. And that has an impact as well. The final thing, I suppose, in terms of what we're seeing is unreasonable local governments and their parking laws and infringements. And when you've got situations where people are going and parking, you know, they're 1 hour parking, they're 10, 15 minutes over because they've gone to breakfast in a cafe and they've spent $30 on breakfast, they come back to their car, like in South Perth and the reports we've heard there in South Perth, it's an $80 fine for being 10 minutes over your 1 hour parking. And that's destroying people's businesses because they go, well, I'm not going back to that cafe again, because because, you know, I get a parking ticket of $80. And that is just, you know, the unreasonableness and the greed that we've seen in some local government areas.
Yeah, free parking after dark. I mean, really, unless you're in an area which is absolutely packed and you can't find a car bay, why don't we just every single council get on board and encourage people to go out and enjoy all the wonderful hospitality venues we have dotted across our city?
Absolutely, Ollie. And I know you've been pushing that for some time now, and that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. And one before you go, Bradley, off topic, W. Churchill in the city. We had a little review in one of the segments we do here, WA's favourite local, and I said that this particular steak sandwich at the W. Churchill should be in the running for the AHA's best steak sandwich competition next year, so you should put it on your radar.
Ollie, the best thing about the steak sandwich competition each year is it's the public that nominate the venues and then vote for the venues to be in the finals. So if anyone has a venue out there they really like, they can talk to the venue, get them to make sure they've filled out their paperwork, nominate, and then get online and vote for them.
All right, I'll push it.
A great example. Thank you.
Good on you. Bradley Woods, CEO of the AHA here in Western Australia. Is it millennials and Instagram crowds killing off our restaurants? Bradley says there's a whole heap of factors. Labour costs, the rent, meeting the market, parking prices. If you could get away with not having to pay a cent to go out, would you? 9221 882 in a parking sense. That is